receive before we launch into this last message in this series. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 13. Beginning to read. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundation, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this series. And we just pray as we wind up this series today, that by your Spirit you will lead us and lead me, Lord, that I'll be able to pull this all together and bring this message to a close, and that, Lord, the results of this series would be that our lives would be transformed by your transforming power through your word, by the power of your Spirit. Lord, put a watch on my mouth that I only speak the words you ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory and yours alone. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we've been talking about different aspects of faith. We started out by talking about the first major point was the fact that we must learn to hear from God. Secondly, we looked at the fact that we must obey what we know. We must obey what we know. Thirdly, we must establish priorities. And we also must keep our faith focused. That is number four. And that's where we're at today. Number four, we must keep our faith focused. We are living in absolute crazy times on this earth, if you've been paying attention. Israel is in a full-blown mix-up right now, man. Hamas picked a fight. And Israel is responding. This very thing, guys, is going to require extreme faith for the believers in the world. Because this is the very kind of thing that was prophesied to happen and could. Now, don't leave here and say, Pastor Wayne says, all right, could lead to World War III that is prophesied in the Word of God. This is the very thing that could launch that. All right? So, I'm not saying it will. I haven't heard of us saying the Lord. Okay? I'm just telling you, this is serious, very serious stuff. It's biblical in its proportions. And I think that we are on the cusp of people and nations beginning to understand that they best not pick on God's people. All right? Now, that being said, brought a book with me. This is Jonathan Cahn's newest book. It's titled The Josiah Manifesto. Okay? And I'm not finished reading this yet. I just got started on it. I just got this book. Wow. What I want to do is to launch us into this final message. I want to read with you the first couple of paragraphs out of this book from chapter 1. And this chapter is entitled The Present Darkness. And he starts out this way. A darkness has come upon the world. It is an ancient darkness and yet new in its manifesting. It is at the time of this writing permeating our media, our entertainments, our marketplaces, our schools, our corporations, our public squares, our governments, our culture, our lives. It is setting in motion the transformation of our society, the overturning of ancient foundations, and the destroying of age-old standards of morality, values, perception, and faith. It is an unrelenting darkness, one that seeks not only to exist and grow, but to exercise total dominion, to force all it touches into submission, to subjugate language, to alter perceptions, and to bend reality into its image. It is a darkness that requires every tongue to confess its name and every knee to bow down in its homage. As for those who would defy or resist its conquest, it seeks to assimilate and transform them or else destroy them, even to destroy their will to resist it. It is a totalitarian darkness. It cannot rest until all lights are extinguished. In other books, I have written of this darkness, of its progression, of its consequences, its judgment, and the mysteries that lie behind it and that foretell its future. I have often been asked, is there hope? What can we do, and how then should we live? There is hope, and there is a template that holds the keys and provides a guide as to how to live and prevail in light of this present coming darkness. I'll stop there. Now you're all going to get this book, aren't you? I think maybe I whet your appetite today. That was my goal, but not. It just fits. I've told you since I started this series that I felt that there was a darkness coming on the earth, that there's an evil presence that's coming on the earth and has been here, but it's growing. It's manifesting more and more, and that it would require that we learn to live by faith, not by sight, not by what we see, but by what we know in here and in here. You know, I've been telling you this as we've been going through this series. And then I got my hands on this new latest book by Jonathan Cahn, and I picked the thing up and read the beginning of it and get into the first chapter, and I read what I just read to you in that first chapter, and I'm like, there it is. There it is. And so I've read it to you this morning because it is so, so very, very important that we learn to live by faith and not by sight. So we need our faith strengthened. We must keep our faith focus, as I said, this is our fourth major point in this series. In verse 10 of our text, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, it says, you got to get there, all right, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. The key phrase here, the most important phrase in this verse, I would say, is he was looking. He was looking. Okay? And then, if we skip down to verse 13, we see that it says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on the earth. Colossians 3 in verse 1 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. We've got to learn to do this. To set our minds on things above, not on the things on this earth. Not that we allow ourselves to be ignorant of what is happening around us, but not to be beat down and destroyed by the things that are happening around us, because we have faith in God, not in man. We have faith in God that He has the final say, that He is truly in charge of everything in our individual lives and everything in the world, in the life of nations, everything. He is in control of it all, and prophecy will be fulfilled. We put our faith in God because we know how it's going to end, because He gave it to us in His book, the Bible. We are overcomers. We win. As believers, we win. The key is that we keep our faith in Christ, keep ourselves in a right relationship with Christ, so that we are clearly on the right team. It's important we examine ourselves regularly, maybe even every day. Because the deception is so dark and evil on the earth right now, if we don't keep our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ, we will end up deceived. So many people are deceived today, it blows my mind. People that profess to know Christ and they're being deceived. The evil has been infiltrating the church as a whole. Churches are bending, violating God's word by allowing the evils in this world to infiltrate the church. Why? Well, we don't want people to leave. We want to have new people. Well, that's all true, but not at the expense of God's truth. Not at the expense of that. And just because we say and live that we don't agree with certain lifestyles does not mean that we are haters. It does not mean we are intolerant. I've always told people, when I get intolerant, you'll know it. There won't be any doubt about it. It also is not unloving to live by faith in God's word and living according to that standard in our lives. That is not unloving, that is loving toward God, and we are to love God first. He's first in the order of love. And when we get this love right, then these relationships work well as well. But the key is having this relationship right first. Before I knew Jesus, my poor wife, even after I've known Jesus, I'll be honest. But it was worse before I was saved. That's my point. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. There are things that have been spoken prophetically. There's a couple things that I have spoken prophetically that God spoke in my heart. To look in the physical, it doesn't look like that's going to transpire. But I'm telling you right now, my eyes are on Jesus. And He is the author and perfecter of everything, including our faith. So, when we read passages like Hebrews 11:1, and we see that it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. That's what faith is. We don't have to see it. Now, I just need you to understand something. When you're strengthening your faith, and you're learning to launch out, and you're taking bigger risks living by faith, there will always be people that are looking in the physical instead of looking in higher places that will come to you and say, what about this? Where's your God now? Expect it. Don't let that shake your faith. People are going to do that. And the enemy works through people. People say things that are going to hurt you. People are masters at speaking word curses over you, and that's why you've got to learn to guard your heart and learn to live by faith and not by sight. Right? Man, it's quiet in here. You guys drinking it in? I don't want to put you to sleep my first day back. Second Corinthians 4, verse 18. This verse says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Listen, guys, we believe in a God that we have never laid eyes on face to face. One that we have never touched in the physical. But that makes Him no less real. That maybe makes Him more real than if He was able to be touched in the physical. Moses experienced Him in a burning bush. Elijah experienced Him in a still small voice. Remember, it wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in the strong wind that tore the face off of the mountain he was on. But it was the still small voice. That was how Elijah experienced him. We all experience him in different ways, but I assure you, if we will enter into and grow in strengthening this faith walk, that he will reveal himself to us, each one of us, in ways that we will understand. And it could be different for every one of us. I know how he reveals himself to me, but I don't know for sure how he does that for you. I've given examples preaching to just try to help people to understand, you know, how to hear God and how to experience him. But it's really different for everyone because we are all fearfully and wonderfully made by the Creator, our Master. And He made all of us unique. My spiritual father years ago told me, he said, Wayne, we don't need any more Waynes. I was leading people to Jesus and trying to bend them into a mold that make them like me, and I thought I was doing good. And he's so loving, he said, yeah, we one Wayne's enough. but I got it. One Wayne's enough. Y'all need to be who you are in Christ. I mean, I was a new believer when I was doing that. I didn't know. I was just trying to drag people into the kingdom and get them saved. And God made me this way, so everybody must need to be this way. And bend them God for a loving spiritual father that lovingly corrected me, and I got it. I understood. But we've got to, as we're strengthening our faith, got to come to the place where we stop depending on what we see and depend on what we don't see, what we believe. Our problem with this is because we were all raised and taught by parents and taught by teachers and taught by the television and taught by this or that, that seeing is believing. But you see, for a believer, that's backwards. It's upside down. Because according to the Word of God, believing is seeing. It's the opposite. Believing is seeing. And that's what faith is rooted in, true faith. Faith is setting your affections on something that is bigger than what most of us are living for. Most of us are not living up to the calling or the potential that we have in Christ. Most of us are not. Why is that? Well, most of the time it's because there's all kinds of things in this world that are crowding God out of the center of our lives. And all of these other things that are so important to us get us into a place where God's still there, but there's all kinds of things in the center of our life that has crowded God out into the peripheral. And that's not faith walk. That's being caught up in this world. So we must keep our faith focused. Focused on what? Focused on who? Focused on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Number five, we must guard our hearts. I mentioned this a few moments ago, but I can't express this enough. It is so important that we guard our hearts, because the fiery darts are going to come, and they come through a lot of different avenues. You know who the people are that hurt you the worst? The people that are the closest to you. Family. Your best friends. Those fiery darts hit the mark and they go deep. And if we don't guard our hearts, the enemy's goal is to destroy us, or at least to keep us from reaching our potential that we have in Christ. First Peter 1, verses 6 through 9. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 9. This is a passage that you would do well to memorize. Most of us are not like Michael Hinn that could memorize the whole Bible. But, I mean, that's a special gift. But we can, all of us, I think, can memorize certain passages at least. I have many committed to memory, and I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Interesting. Verse 6 starts out, "In this you greatly rejoice," and it goes right into, "Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." People are suffering grief in more and more trials all the time because of the world that we live in. And what I just read out of the new book written by Jonathan John. We are living in great and terrible times. And why do I say that way? Well, we're living in great times because when things get like this, then people become ripe to hear the gospel. And we are on the cusp of a great outpouring of God. Right in the devil's face. When he thinks he's winning. We are at the cusp of it. It has already begun. Asbury College. There was like a hiatus of what God was doing there through the summer. But from what I understand, what I've been reading, after they got back to college this fall, it all started right back up again. And there is revival happening at Asbury College and other colleges across the nation. Now, you're not going to hear that or read that in secular media. You're not, because they don't want you to know. Because they want to keep us pressed down and silent. Well, this old boy with high blood pressure refuses to be silent. Because our God is good. He has not forgotten us. He has not abandoned us. And he never will. But he does expect us to live according to his statutes and to walk by faith and not by sight as his children. He has provided the way for every one of us. So, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, he even tells us in verse 7 why. These have come so that our faith will be strengthened. That's what this is talking about. So that your faith of greater worth than gold, your faith is of greater worth than gold. Because our faith leads us to salvation in Christ. Because we are saved by grace, according to the Word of God, through faith. By grace, through faith. Of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire. Our faith is refined by the fiery trials that we go through. So when we're going through hard times, if we guard our heart and we keep our attitudes right and keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and not get caught up in all of the things of the world and let that dominate us, if we will do those things, then it may be proved genuine, it says, and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now I want you to understand something. When it says that this faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, I want to talk to you about that a minute, because there's confusion about that. When Jesus Christ returns, when he is revealed, when he returns for his bride, there will be no need for faith any longer, because our faith will then be our sight. And so at that point, faith perishes, because there will be no need for faith any longer. What is faith? Believing what is unseen. When Christ comes back, he is seen. He's before us. He's with us. He's carrying us. And there's no need for that faith anymore, even though it was refined by the fires that we've gone through in this life. Going through a trial right now in my own life, my faith is being refined. So as we strengthen our faith, in the end result, it will be proved genuine. Genuine. Genuine faith. See, genuine faith really does trust Jesus. Have you trusted Jesus with your life? See, it requires that we give our life to him. That's what it is to be born again. We no longer are in charge of our own lives, because we've given our lives to Jesus Christ. He purchased us. He paid the whole price. So we gave our lives to him. Now you've got to trust somebody to do that. When you stand at the altar and you commit to another person till death do you part, you better trust that person before you get to that altar. Amen. If you don't trust that person before you get to that altar, you don't belong at that altar taking them vows. Because you shouldn't take vows like we take if you don't trust that person. You understand what I'm saying? So for us to profess Jesus Christ, repent of our sins, invite him into our lives to be our Lord and Savior, we've got to have a revelation of him and understand we can truly trust him with everything. Trust. We have faith in him because we trust him. I trust him with everything I have for a long time. It's been 40 years. I trust him with everything. I trust him with my health. Yes, I don't always understand, but I'm called to live by faith, not what I see. When that blood pressure machine reads numbers that makes most people go, whoa! I got no choice but to trust Jesus to keep that heart pounding. None of us does. Do you trust him? Do you trust him to bring you through? God wants us to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, it says in the Word of God. Verse 8 goes on to say, though you have not seen him, remember I just talked about that a few moments ago, you love him. I've never met Jesus face to face, but I know him. I know him. I know him better than I know some of you. That's just a fact. Because I've been communing with him for 40 years. And even though I have never seen him, I know he's real because of the things he has whispered over the years in my heart. Because of the things that he has done and orchestrated that no one else could have ever done. The times when he has healed me miraculously of physical conditions, and I'm just waiting for that in the situation I'm in right now. Because he has done that so many times in my life, I'm just expecting it. I expect him to do it. And I'll be frank with you. I don't think God's done using me here yet, but if he decides he is and he takes me home, then I echo God's word. To live is Christ and to die is gain. What is your hope? What is your faith anchored in? If it's anchored in anything but Jesus Christ, you have it anchored in the wrong place. When it is anchored in Christ, the anchor holds. There is no way we can live in victory apart from faith. It is impossible for us to live in true victory apart from faith. Romans 5:1, that last scripture. By golly, we're going to make it here. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's powerful. That's a good place to leave this series, don't you think? It's a good place to leave it right there. I can't express to you guys enough just how important it is that we get this down in us, that we strengthen ourselves every day in our faith. Because, guys, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. He said, he warned us. But he said, take heart, for I have overcome the world. Aren't you glad he didn't just leave it there? But take heart, for I have overcome the world. And because Jesus overcame the world, as we are in him and have our trust and our faith in him, then we are overcomers as well. We overcome. Did you get it? These last six messages, I know God is wanting to grow us up in this area. Let's stand together. Father, I stretch out my hands over your people merely as your ambassador, as your representative. And I proclaim wellness. I proclaim that we walk by faith and not by sight. I proclaim that your word is fruitful in our lives and that we are transformed as a result of the teaching and preaching of your word. We welcome your Holy Spirit to seal this message in our hearts, that we are truly transformed. And when we go out the doors of this place, that, Lord, you provide opportunity, because we're entering our mission field the moment we go out these doors. And we pray that you will use us, that you will just grow us up in our faith, and that our testimony would be faith-building to all who would listen and hear, Father God. We give you praise now, Lord. Take us and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless everybody. We love you.